This is West Virginia Morning on West Virginia Public Radio. I'm Beth Voorhees. Tech Connect West Virginia is a statewide economic development organization dedicated to the advancement of science, technology, and the innovation economy. The organization put together a two-day conference to celebrate women and technology. Glennis Board dropped in on the conference at Ogilvie Park in Ohio County to talk with organizers and the first woman to walk in space. She brings us this report.
This was the second Women in Tech conference organized by Tech Connect. The organization's executive director, Ann Barth, says the object is to give women in the state an opportunity to learn, be inspired, and network.
We know that women are underrepresented in technology fields, and we want to get people together to talk about how we can change that.
From the campaign trail to stories in the media, we've recently been bombarded with the fact that women in this country are paid less than men for the same work. And Barth says that statistic is especially true in West Virginia. In fact, according to a recent report by the Institute for Women's Policy Research, women in West Virginia who work full-time year-round on average earn about $29,000 compared with $42,000 for men.
Women in STEM make more money than in other jobs. Those jobs are more recession-proof, and it would be a great way to help close the gender pay gap by getting more women into STEM and technology jobs.
About 100 women from higher education institutions, the private sector, and some college students listen to speakers with a wide variety of professional backgrounds who either use technology effectively or work in technological fields. For example, West Virginia University's provost, Joyce McConnell, offered thoughts about how to find and hold on to empowerment. And she stressed the point that there are plenty of women who are already mastering and or contributing to technological fields. After receiving an award from the Small Business Administration, president and publisher of New South Media, Nikki Bowman, spoke about the obstacles she overcame to develop several West Virginia-centered magazines. She warned against apathy, challenged her audience to consider how their choices will impact their community, and exuded pride in her West Virginia heritage to great applause. The conference's keynote address was delivered by Dr. Catherine Sullivan, Undersecretary of Department of Commerce and Administrator with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. Sullivan's expertise spans the frontiers of the sea to the frontiers of space. She's an oceanographer and an astronaut. A self-described scientist, astronaut, and explorer, Sullivan offered attendees her perspective from NOAA, an organization that continues to focus on advancing technology, which allows us to understand and monitor Earth. She also offered pieces of advice from lessons she's gleaned over the years. Among them, she says, not to be afraid to be scared, because that just might be when you learn the most.
There's a sweet spot in human existence that one educational psychologist called just scared enough. And that's where something exciting or triggering your curiosity or maybe worrying you has you just scared enough that all of your mental circuits are wide open, absolutely wide open and in process and receive mode. And that's really a sweet spot for learning.
Sullivan says even today, she continues to look for opportunities that leave her just scared enough so that she herself can continue to learn and grow. Anything else, she says, would be like signing a death sentence. The Women in Tech Conference was sponsored by the West Virginia Department of Education and the Arts, Marshall University, West Virginia University, the West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission Division of Science and Research, the NASA West Virginia Space Grant Consortium, Brick Street Insurance, West Banco, and American Electric Power. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glennis Board in Wheeling.
And you can hear more of Glennis Board's interview with Dr. Sullivan at wvpublic.org, our website. While you're there, you can learn more about the Women in Tech Conference through tweets from attendees. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:38. A freeze warning is in effect until 9 o'clock this morning for the eastern Greenbrier County. Frost advisory for much of the state until 10 o'clock. Partly sunny skies today with highs in the 50s and low 60s. Rain overnight with lows in the 40s and 50s. Rain likely on Tuesday with highs in the 50s.
Thank you, Beth. We live in a democracy, and in order for it to be successful, it's essential that we make our voices heard and to vote. But most importantly, we must stay informed, and that's where West Virginia Public Radio comes in. We live in a complex world, and every day West Virginia Public Radio brings you the stories you need to understand it. We inform you with integrity, detail, and a passion for the craft of journalism. Our democracy can't afford to be without public radio, and public radio can't afford to exist without your support. So call us at 1-800-RADIO-87. Make your gift now. It's so important.
On Friday's Viewpoint, Ashton Mara sat down with Secretary of State Natalie Tennant. The Democrat is running for U.S. Senate. Tennant focused on her plans to help grow West Virginia's economy and address some questions about social issues, but started by addressing the historic nature of the race, one that will likely end with West Virginia's first female senator in Washington.
People think, oh, this is wonderful that no matter who wins, West Virginia is going to have its first woman U.S. senator. And then they go on to say women are going to be taken care of. Women are going to win this race no matter what. And I have to tell them to step back a little bit because that's not necessarily the case. First off, it's not about being the first woman. It's about being the best person for West Virginia and the best person for this country. And when we talk about women, you know, I certainly say step back a little bit because I will stand up for women first and foremost. And I have to point out the record of my opponent in this case when we talk about women, that our West Virginia women rank last when it comes to wage and income. We make 66 cents for a dollar that every man makes. Now, the national average is 77 cents. Now, I'm not saying that's much better. We should be a dollar for a dollar. But here in West Virginia, we rank last. And so I stand up and say, I will vote for the Paycheck Fairness Act to shorten that wedge that we have in the wages for West Virginia women and women across America. And it's not necessarily a woman versus man type of issue. It is about lifting our families up as a whole because we know so many women are the breadwinners in our families, in their families. And I just think it's important that we lift women up. And so, you know, the start of your question talked about being the first woman. It's about being the best person for the state. And I'm sure that we're going to get into a lot of other issues showing the differences and showing how I have, through my career, stood up and put West Virginia first.
In your jobs and business plan, you talk about maintaining and attracting new high technology and manufacturing jobs to the state, and you specifically cite the high technology corridor in Fairmont and the Toyota plant in Buffalo as examples of those kinds of jobs. But those projects were brought to the state by senior senators with a lot of pull. So how would you, as a new member of the Senate, work to attract those industries here over places that have senators with many more connections?
Well, as soon as I get in there, when I'm elected on November 4th, I will begin working my way up and showing the importance of bringing this type of, as you call it, federal anchors to West Virginia. And you're certainly right. We have to show how important West Virginia is because we are doing this cutting edge technology already in West Virginia. And that's what I want folks to recognize. And it's not just taking place at Fairmont at the High Tech Consortium, but it's all over West Virginia. You know, I love to tout that we have cutting edge technology like 3D printing. And 3D printing is the front and center of the Robert C. Byrd Institute at Marshall. And I will continue to invest in that type of research and development and that type of technology that we can take our cutting edge technology, whether it's 3D printing or bio nanotechnology, take it from the labs to the factories, and we have to have a commitment from someone. And on day one, I will start building that seniority, and I will start building that commitment for West Virginia and say, look, we already have NASA up in Fairmont. We need to continue to invest in that area. We have the Department of Defense in West Virginia that we can continue to build. And it takes a tenacity. It takes a tenacity of someone who is willing to stand up, someone who's willing to put her work on the line, and that's what I've done. And you talked about my four-part plan. I've put it out. I've given West Virginians an opportunity to take a look at my vision for the state. And it's been a collaborative effort between me and West Virginians when they come back and say, what about this for education, Natalie? You know, we're focusing on early childhood education, or when especially you're talking about jobs in the economy with our small businesses. I have a very good working relationship with our small businesses as well.
So let's move from this jobs and business plan to the coal and energy jobs plan. Can you cite for me one concrete example of a way that you can impact the growth and creation of energy jobs in the state according to the plan that you've already laid out?
Yes, I can. And this is what I have stood up to President Obama with, and this is what I have taken our voices and our fight to the EPA when the EPA refused to come to West Virginia to hear our stories here. I took our voice and our fight, and I marched through the streets of Pittsburgh with the United Mine Workers, coal workers, and the electrical workers of the IBEW. And I took our fight and our voice and my challenge to the president and the solutions that we can have instead of focusing on trying to hurt our jobs and using regulations that might hurt our jobs. I said, invest in West Virginia. Invest in advanced coal technologies. You see how that intertwines when we talk about jobs and technology, how important I know that building opportunities from our economy based on our energy. So here's what I've said. We have, and I've given the president a way to pay for it. Also, we have $8 billion from the Department of Energy, and it is in guaranteed loans right now. And we haven't had industry or companies apply for these loans. So in absence of that, I said, take this $8 billion and invest directly into advanced coal technology like carbon capture storage, CCS, and either retrofit the existing coal-fired power plants or build new ones with this technology. Now, that is a specific concrete example that you asked about that will help to save jobs in West Virginia, that will help to cut emissions at the same time, and it will also build that technology that gives us another area of creating jobs with technology that's not just going to be used in West Virginia, that is going to be used around the world.
So I want to move on to some social issues. I feel like those aren't really talked about as much as economic issues in this race. So without getting too much into the weeds of state politics, your husband, Senator Eric Wells, was outspoken during this year's legislative session about the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, a bill that would have prohibited abortion after 20 weeks. His stance, if I'm not incorrect in remembering, was that similar bills in other states have been found unconstitutional by the courts, and he didn't want to take that risk. I realize that you're not your husband.
Thank you very much for recognizing that. But, and I want all folks across West Virginia to and he's not me either. I mean,
yes,
and vice versa.
We are more than welcome to have your differences of opinion on thought, but I think I want to know what your thoughts are on abortion. Should any restrictions be placed in the practice? And but does that decision need to be left up to the states, or does the federal government need to step in?
Well, first off, we do have federal law with Roe v. Wade. And, you know, I have said that it is a decision of a woman. It's a decision of a woman with her doctor, with her family, and with her faith. And I just personally don't think that a politician or a government can make that decision for a woman and her family.
Okay. Let's move on to A follow-up question from your televised debate with your Republican opponent last week. During that debate, you were both asked a question about gay marriage, mm-hmm. and you were very careful to say that you support equality under the law. But since that debate, that practice has become legal in West Virginia. So, Secretary, do you support same-sex marriage?
I support equality, and I support equality whether it's equal pay and equal marriage also. And as I said, and as I've talked about, and I've thought about this, we should have equality in marriage, and I've prayed about it, I've thought about it, and I just thought, you know, what does Jesus tell us in the Golden Rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so I believe that we should all be treated fairly. It's the way I want to be treated. It's the way I treat others. And, you know, I don't think that a church should go against its doctrine. It should have to go against its teaching. But I certainly believe that we should have marriage equality.
You can hear Ashton Morrow's full interview with Natalie Tennant on our website, wvpublic.org. Just look for the latest episode of Viewpoint. This Friday, Ashton will interview Congressman Nick Rahal, who's running for re-election in the 3rd Congressional District against Republican State Senator Evan Jenkins. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.